You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily. Nathan Zgura, Matt Wilhelm from the Dog Bowl in Berea. Hour number two rolling about 7 minutes past the hour and less than an hour from the Browns' final practice before they get ready to take on the Green Bay Packers and head to Lambeau Field. We've talked about the DBs. Obviously, there is concern out there in Browns land about this defensive backfield, but one guy who has made the most of his opportunities when they've been given and who has a massive opportunity coming up this year is Jordan Poyer, yes, the free safety from Oregon State. We talked with him earlier today, and he spoke with many members of the media. Here's what he had to say.
What kind of chemistry do you have with Ibrahim back then?
Me and Assie, you know, we watched a lot of film together. You know, he came in last year, and I think me and him kicked it off real well. He's a smart football player, and I think we both kind of take the film room pretty seriously, and I think our chemistry has came along really well. Obviously, both got a lot of work to do, but I think I enjoy playing alongside him.
Is it, how did you approach this offseason knowing that you would probably come in as a starter this year?
I approached it almost just like every other offseason. You know, I tend to come into every camp preparing myself as a starter, wanting to be a starter in the NFL. And it's not given, it's earned. And that's kind of how I approach this offseason, is that I would have to earn that responsibility. And when it come down to it, you know, I've done everything that I could to try and make that happen.
What do you say to people who say Browns lost both their starting safeties, and so low expectations for that deep end position this year?
You know, I try not to pay too much attention to it. You know, I know what our group is capable of, and I believe with the leaders on our team that with the Tremont Williams and Joe Hayden, you know, they're going to up everybody's level of play, mine included. And so I'm excited to play alongside those guys and have the opportunity to go out and play with them on Friday night.
You're going against all these young receivers. Are they as good as they seem to look to us from the outside looking in?
It's a great group of receivers, and you know, they can all run, they can all catch the ball, and they're all strong. And so you know, it's been fun competing against them, and you know, I try to tend to come into camp every day and using them as someone to make myself better. And you know, it's a great group of receivers, and I'm happy they're on our team.
Do you believe this is your moment of your career to step up and be recognized as a starter?
You know, obviously, yeah, the situation being in right now, I want to take hold of it and grasp it and do everything possible I can with it. So that being said, like I said, I'm preparing like a starter. And it's earned, it's not given. And so I want to earn that position.
I know you talked about IC's, how smart he is and the work in the film room. On the field, were you able to see enough of him last year on the field to say, yeah, he can handle this job physically?
I mean, he's always been physical. You know, I've watched tape of him when he was at Northwestern, and he's always been a physical safety. He tends to like to play in the box a little bit more. And he's just a physical, strong safety, smart safety, and I think he's gonna be a starter in this league, no doubt.
And how about Justin Gilbert? We talked to Louis Coffey yesterday, and he was saying he's doing everything asked of him. You talked about him in the offseason, but have you seen that change in Justin carry over to training camp?
I definitely have. Just as night and day from when he first came in as a rookie to now. You know, he's taken a step in his career and in his life, I believe, into bettering himself and to making himself the best football player that he could be. And you know, everybody out on the field, everybody watching knows that he's got great talent and unbelievable talent at that. And you know, he's definitely taking that next step.
How excited are you guys just ready for, or, you know, how ready for Friday night are you to finally go against some live competition? You're not beating yourself up anymore.
We're excited. I mean, it's game. You know, they're keeping score, and so anytime they're keeping score, you want to compete and you want to win. And so that's going to be our job, and that's going to be what we're going to come to the game looking forward to do.
Have you seen a change in Danny Shelton this year? I know he went through kind of a physical transformation, but even being more business-like when he's on the field?
Yeah, more business-like, more leadership-like. I'm older than he is, and, you know, I look at him as one of the leaders on our defense, and it's exciting to see, and you know, he's another one of those players that's going to help us win a lot of games, and so he's definitely taking that next step in the leadership role.
How big of a key is to have that kind of guy in the middle of the defense?
I mean, it's huge. It starts with the D-line, and so it's huge.
That's Jordan Poyer, a guy who filled in nicely last year for Sean Gibson. Now he's the man. Matt, you went from that role where you were a guy playing behind a starter who departed, and it became your job to be the man. What's the mindset like for Jordan Poyer?
The mindset is to prepare himself for battle, and I think it's a mindset of keeping, you know, your feet to the coals, because essentially what led to, I don't want to say my demise, but like what led to, you know, my being released by North Turner was just getting a little comfortable and saying, okay, I've arrived now. And you just tend to like let things slide, you know, not spending as much time watching film, not keeping your body in the right shape all year long, or, you know, not jumping in the cold tub, you know, after practice and taking for granted that you recover. Little things like that. As time goes on, he's got to be ready. He's got to be ready to play 60 to 80 snaps, 16 games a year, which is different in every way, shape, and form. And I think for Jordan, while, yes, he's come in and he replaced Tashaun Gibson, you know, diligently when he was hurt, he's got to be ready to absorb the entire playbook and again, you know, really regurgitate it 16 times, whereas Jordan was a specialty player and a backup and then came in and started some games. But he's got to be ready to mentally and physically for the long haul.
Yeah, I think it is a different approach. And, you know, you always say that you want to, you know, treat every game as though you're the starter and prepare as the starter. Is that the reality of the situation?
No, it's not. I mean, I took pride in always being ready to be one play away when I was not a starter. You know, and a lot of it didn't have to do with what I did at practice, because, you know, the backups, you become the scout team for the starting offense in some cases. And the reps that you get in the actual defensive game plan for that week is limited. So you have to be prepared and do your homework off the field to be ready one play away. But when it's your time, there's no days off. It's, you know, your feet to the coals all day, every day, being able to go out and execute what Ray Horton expects Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, so that he knows exactly what he's going to get on Sunday.
So he was a seventh-round pick in 2013. So I want to ask you, take me inside the mind of Jordan Poyer, or at least most players. There are two things at play here. This is the first opportunity to ever start. He's also an unrestricted free agent at the end of the year. So is he focused more on, you know, wanting to prove that he can be a star? I guess they're the same thing, but this is an opportunity not only to become a real contributor in the National Football League, it's also an opportunity to get paid. If he has a big season, this is his only shot at guaranteed money.
Well, he knows that, but that should be on the back burner, because if he doesn't have the 2016 that he believes he can have, all that lofty dream that's in the back of his mind, you know, cuts in half, or he gets a third of that and falls back into the role that Jordan Poyer has played up to this point. But if he plays well and he's hungry each and every day, he's inching closer to that dream and creating the proper scenario for him to hit unrestricted free agency after playing 16 games. He was able to stay healthy and play the way Ray Horton would want him to play.
We've got to see how it is going to be for Jordan Poyer. I think that's another big storyline. Two new starters at the safety position in Poyer and Ibrahim Campbell. Now, Raheem Moore still has an opportunity, the former second-round pick out of UCLA, who started in playoff games at free safety, to push him. But I think for Moore, that's going to be stuff that's going to come from consistent production and practice, and then probably making some big splash plays in games. We know he already does have an interception in camp of Josh McCown. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit about a thing near and dear to you, which is the San Diego Superchargers. We'll also go into the mailbag, last chance to tweet your questions using the hashtag AskCBD. And when I mean near and dear to you, Antonio Gates has some strong words for Joseph Bosa.
Good.
We'll talk about those when we come back. There ain't no secrets anymore.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily. Before we dip into the mailbag with Matt Fontana, our producer today, here's what Antonio Gates, somebody you played with in San Diego, had to say to Joey Bosa. And he said, and I quote, "My advice to any player that's going through any kind of contract situation is that at one point you've got to be a man. You've got to understand what you've got to do to get ready to play. Sometimes you just got to, just as a man, you got to step in and say, this is what it's going to be. Because sometimes, whether or not there's miscommunication with the general manager or the agent, whatever it is, at the end of the day, it's your life and it's your career. And you have to kind of know what's best for you, and you know what you need. You still have to have that tunnel vision of being able to go out and perform at the highest level. So to me, that was always the determining factor when I had issues."
So, and I'm just throwing this out there, and you can respond how you want to respond. And
oh, I will.
It's I know you
Thank you for
That's
permission.
Why I'm doing it. That's why I'm throwing it out there. You'll catch it.
Okay.
You'll reel it in. I'm not playing one side or the other. I'm just throwing something out. Other players have gotten their full bonus up front.
Sure.
And as you pointed out in the break when we kind of were discussing this, is the Spanos family, this is their money-making business. So the interest on the $9 million that they want to defer can gain interest over the next, 12 months to essentially make them money on that money and then pay Bosa money that he's due anyway. And I guess I throw out the question is, what can Joey Bosa do with $9 million or $17 million that he can't do with $8 that is so pressing that he needs it right now, other than to have it in your bank, making it interest for you?
And that could be it. He could be saying, yeah, you're costing me, if I had this money and it was earning this percentage return, you're basically costing me, we'll call it $500,000.
Is that what you may or may not think is the stance?
It very well could be.
Or is it a status thing like, okay, I'm picked four. I talked to my boy Zeke, who got picked third by the Cowboys, and maybe talked to Eli Apple, who went 10th. They got all their money.
And he was picked the first of all these guys. And maybe that's what it is. I think at the end of the day, it's a stupid thing because he's going to get the money and he's going to be just fine. But he's got to come in and play at a high level. I mean, when you're Joey Bosa, you've gotten this contract based on what you did in college. Your next contract's going to be based on what you do in the pros. And now
Correct. It's
not based just on your rookie year, obviously.
Right.
But you want to come in there and make a statement, I believe, right from the get-go. And I think what Antonio Gates is saying is it's not that easy just to come from college to the pros, first of all, no matter how good you are. You're kind of playing out of position with the San Diego Chargers anyway, because you really should be a 4-3 DN, and you're not going to be able to play that in San Diego. What do you say that they're going to use him as a five tech?
Yes.
So he's going to have to beef up, but you've got to get adjusted to that. That's kind of a new position for him that he's never played before. And just get in there and be focused on being the best player you can be and let all the financial stuff take care of itself.
Exactly. And I think it's – while the representation of Joey Bosa, in fact, in this case, is Joey Bosa. So his agent, his family are speaking on his behalf. And as I said in the break as well, it just makes everybody look bad. Going back to my time, and I've said it before, that, Quentin Jammer, LaDainian Tomlinson, Sean Merriman, I think maybe even Luis Castillo, but another, early first-round pick, they've all held out. So this is not the first, of this kind in doing business with the San Diego Chargers. But it makes everybody look bad. This makes Joey Bosa look greedy. And yet, as I just mentioned, Ezekiel Elliott got his money, and Eli Apple got his money, and these other guys, Taylor Decker got his first-round money. And I think in this case, because Joey Bosa was drafted by the Chargers, it's the way the Chargers do business, he just has to say, okay. And I think in this case, Gates sees the talent in Bosa and knows what Bosa can bring for the aspirations of the Chargers to regaining, some of their clout in the AFC West. And not having a guy like that brings on the comments of, grow up, be a man, it's all going to be figured out. It's all going to end up in your bank account anyway someday.
Right. And this is going to look like
a pittance, fortunately, if he plays well and goes on to that second contract and gets some of that crazy guaranteed money. I mean, I just think it's a bad thing for him in the beginning of his NFL career. It's a bad thing for the Chargers. I think it is a weird hill for the Chargers to die on as well, as Mike Silver just pointed out on Twitter, that, you know, the guy wants it now versus 2 years, whatever. I just think that there's I think at the end of the day, it's inconsequential, and they need to figure out a way to get it done. All right, we got a few minutes before Mike Sando from ESPN joins us, so let's bring in Matt Fontana, and let's get in to the mailbag.
Yeah, so you can use the hashtag AskCBD, and you can also tweet at the show at Browns_daily. This one was from a little bit earlier, but I wanted to ask Matt this, and you, Nathan, as well. From Steven, he asked, guys, how important is it to actually win a preseason game? Is it at all?
I don't believe it's on the list of things that you want to get accomplished. Winning is winning, and I think, and I'll go back on what I was just going to say. I think for Hugh Jackson, winning in the preseason may be different than it is to Green Bay or to New England or the Arizona Cardinals. But that being said, and I continue to say, you know, checking boxes, there was a mentality and a physicality to the point where that Hugh Jackson and Ray Horton want to see their sides of the ball play that looks like winning football, regardless of what the scoreboard says. And I think that is the biggest box that these guys want to check here. Not so much, did we make the field goal? Did our backup kicker miss or make the field goal at the end of the game to win or lose this preseason game? It's everything on what everything prior to that moment looked like.
I mean, I remember the year that Brandon Whedon was there and we looked great in the preseason. 4-0. Yeah, I don't think it matters, but I think because it's Hugh's first year, I think for the guys that some of which might not even be playing on this team. In fact, most likely if they're playing the fourth quarter of a preseason game, the chances of them playing here are probably slim. But it's just kind of like you want to taste that win. Come through. This is why we practice this hard. So then these moments you come through and just a demonstration of it happening, even though it's not going to be the guys that are going to be counted on to come through in the fourth quarter in the real game.
Right. I think in a nutshell, can Hugh Jackson stand at Lambeau Field after 60 minutes of football and say that was winning football?
Yep. That's the key.
No matter what the scoreboard at Lambeau says, Hugh Jackson identifying that was winning football, and I will take that because I know Hugh Jackson's standards are extremely high.
I do too, and I think that's the key, and that's what you're looking for. The ultimate win and loss. You're not going to get any prizes. Nobody's going to look back on 2016.
I mean, how many years did a Peyton Manning team win? Like, I remember year after year, they were 1-3, 1-3, 1-3, 1-3. And Peyton plays very little, except for maybe like a quarter in that third preseason game.
Yeah.
But it's like Colts teams and Broncos teams would, you know, almost go winless in the preseason. And yet, when week one, you know, came around, it was time to go.
Well, those are veteran teams with a culture of winning.
Correct.
We need to establish that. All right, Fontana, what else you got in the mailbag?
Again, use that hashtag AskCBD. This is from George on Twitter. He says, guys, shouldn't Joe Hayden and Justin Gilbert improve under Ray Horton for being a former NFL DB? And he seemed like Horton really improved the defensive backs his first time here.
Yes, I would absolutely. And I think a lot of the reason is Justin Gilbert is not going to be asked to be on an island playing press man coverage. Okay,
no.
Justin Gilbert will, and Ray Horton will accentuate Justin Gilbert's greatest assets are his speed and his length. How do we get that on the field and maximize it to the point where Justin Gilbert can handle that? That's what I think we need to do with Justin Gilbert. And I think the same for, and to go back, you know, in full circle, same thing for Joe Hayden. Until I see that Joe Hayden is Joe Hayden from 2013, Joe Hayden's got to play our scheme. We don't play a scheme that fits Joe Hayden.
And let's be honest, if you're a Browns fan or if you're a Browns coach or if you're Sashi Brown right now, what you really want to have happen is at some point, whether it's in the preseason or in the regular season, for Justin Gilbert to take over Tremont Williams.
Yes, you do.
To overtake him and become that second starter, because Tremont Williams is not going to be most likely a starting quarterback for the Browns in 2017. That's not in their worldview.
No, it's not.
He's here to help them get cross the bridge to when the younger guys are ready to go. Justin Gilbert is the guy with the most talent that you have currently under contract. You know he's on your roster. But if it's Jamar Taylor, that's fine too. But I bet deep down they want somebody to push Tremont Williams off the field.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that, you know, the best analogy for that is RG3 and Josh McCown. You know, RG3 is Justin Gilbert, and Josh McCown, you know, is Tremont Williams in this case. Just sure. just a different positions. Justin Gilbert has yet to do enough to take over the role like RG3 earned the starting, you know, the starting quarterback position. But you have Josh McCown. In this case, Tremont Williams. And if RG3 didn't show those what Hugh Jackson wants, the attributes of a starting quarterback for Hugh Jackson in his eyes, Josh McCown would easily be the starter. It might have just happened 2 weeks from now.
Correct.
You know, so there's some credibility to this process that we're going through. Justin Gilbert's yet to do enough to deserve to play opposite Joe Haden yet.
That's right. You got one more in there, Fontana?
Yeah, sure. This one comes from This one comes from Tony, guys. Oh, here it is. How concerned are you with Corey Coleman's, he says, quote-unquote, injuries right
Not
now?
Not at all.
Not at all. I've been many people I've talked to are not worried about it at all. If this was a regular season game, he'd be playing, and they wouldn't be worried about it at all. Agreed. They're just being smart. The guy's shown. I mean, after that Friday night, there were a lot of people who were like, let's just wrap this guy up. And maybe they're giving him a little wrapping
bubble
right
wrap
now.
Him.
Bubble wrap him up. Like, okay, we get it. So no worries on that front, at least as of now. If it becomes something more serious, then I would start to be concerned. But at this point, not worried. And I want, and we know from talking to some of the strength people here, that his hamstrings were something they've been aware of, something that they want to go ahead and address. They're even getting down to the biomechanics of how he actually moves his body to reduce the strain on his hamstrings and prevent things like this going forward. So I'm not too worried about that. All right, we'll take a break when we come back. Mike Sando from ESPN is going to join us here on the Ohio Business Machines Hotline, give a little national perspective on what's going on with the Cleveland Browns.
Listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm here in the Dog Bowl in Berea. The rain is starting to fall again. It's been a stretch of hot ones. Maybe today will be a little cooler, but obviously
it's actually
a
stopped.
Lot of humidity. It stops. The sun is peeking out.
It is. So it's going to be hot and humid. Sweaty is what we used to say.
Ugh. I mean, when you go out there and then walk back in this building, it is literally like you're walking normally. It would be like being in your house and then walking into
the
one
air
of those
conditioning
big
like
beer
hits you
fridges.
With like a wave. It's like walking into Costco's like veggie department.
Yeah.
Boom. Cold.
That's, yeah. It's gotcha.
Yes.
Knocks you back. It's glorious. 216-780-850 to call us up. But now we go to the Ohio Business Machine Hotline and welcome in Mike Sando from ESPN, our guest. Mike, thanks for joining us today.
Hey, good to be here.
What's kind of the perception right now? I know we haven't even gotten to a preseason game yet, but just kind of the overall direction, vibe, et cetera, coming out of Cleveland here in the Hugh Jackson era.
Genuine excitement for Hugh Jackson, what he can do offensively, you know, his leadership of the team. But, you know, I think you have to, when you look at how unstable they've been and how many changes they've made, you just have to let it see over time whether this is really for real and they're really going to give this group a chance and they're going to be there long enough to really know whether it was going to work or not. I think there's been so many regimes in and out of there that, yeah, they all had their weaknesses, but how do you really evaluate anyone? There's a lot of great coaches over time who had losing records after their first few years. So for me, it's the long term. This year is probably going to be tough. You know, I mean, they're not a great team, and there's other better teams in the division and in the league on the schedule, and they've got two quarterbacks who, you know, get hit hard by people when they try to run and may not last the season.
Sure. And Mike, you talked about the quarterback position. That's exactly where I was going with my question. And your 2016 NFL QB tier rankings have been out now. Walk us through quickly for our listeners who aren't familiar what your tiers are and then where you have Robert Griffin III in those tiers as he walks by the Dog Bowl right now.
Yeah. The basically this started 3 years ago, and I was asking guys in the league how they evaluate him, what they value. And so out of that, we came up with some tiers that I think are pretty well defined. And the number one tier, the best guys carry your team every week. We know who they are. You know, Rodgers and Brady have done that for years. And there's been some other guys in that category. I think Drew Brees has been up there. Ben Roethlisberger has been up there more recently. The second tier is, you know, just a notch below that. You know, I think over the years, Tony Romo has been, you know, Matt Ryan at times have played in that second tier where they can carry you, but they don't necessarily, you may not want to ask them to do it every week. In the third group, you know, pretty good players, but, you know, in the past, you'd have an Alex Smith or, you know, Andy Dalton would be seen in that tier. You can win with them, but let's run the ball a fair amount. Let's play good defense. Let's not ask them to do too much. Fourth tier, which is where Robert came in right now, is, you're basically saying, I'm not sure I'd want to go 16 games with him, but there can still be some upside. You know, he hasn't played in a while, and when he did play, it didn't go well. So he kind of goes into that fourth tier until he proves he can come out of it. Everyone knows he has the talent to do it. Can he do it? And then the fifth tier, no one really got into it. Some people got some fifth-tier votes. That would be like, we don't think he should be a starter.
We've had some of those guys in the past year as our starters. I can imagine a couple of years recently where everybody should have been fifth tier on this team. Talking with Mike Sando from ESPN. Mike, RG3, the big question I think a lot of people have is not so much about the talent with him. It's, is he coachable? And that's kind of what we're reading about. Is he coachable? Can he do this? Can he do that? Can he work with you? I can tell you from being in the building, he's one of the first guys here, one of the last to leave every day, and we haven't heard peep about it. Have you nationally heard anything about RG3's coachability since joining the Browns?
I don't have specifics on it, no. I do know people who speak highly of him, who have worked with him in the past. There are people in the league. I mean, we've all sort of heard the political games played, you know, with the Shanahans, and, you know, was he tough to coach and all that? And I think, you know, Griffin has rubbed people the wrong way in the league. I mean, players I've talked to, that was, you know, a couple of years ago on the Redskins, I started doing this poll, and I even was asking players, and their reactions were kind of visceral. People just didn't like the way he projected himself. And, you know, he's been out of the limelight a little bit longer. I think the question now is, you know, is he ready to be part of the team, or does he feel like the star of the team? And, you know, there's a distinction there, and I think he has to earn that, you know, but we've already seen he can't hold up physically playing the way he did before when he was the star of the team. So it remains to be seen how he handles things, not just now when everyone's undefeated and everyone's happy and you're in the honeymoon period. It's really what happens if you lose the opener by 3 touchdowns and you threw 3 interceptions. Then are you a leader? Then are you accountable? Then do you make the corrections and humble yourself and handle things in a way that lets you get better? And we don't know that.
Absolutely. Well, there is one guy that around Brownstown here in Berea that everyone's been excited about. It's been the first overall draft pick of the Cleveland Browns, Corey Coleman. And just your synopsis nationally on how impactful he can be. And then just talk about the 14-player draft for the Cleveland Browns and the new direction by management.
Yeah, tons of draft picks. I mean, the question you get is, you know, did they pare back things so far? Is this roster kind of like a Jacksonville roster's been or an Oakland a couple of years ago, to where it's hard to build it back? Because it can take a couple of years to do each side of the ball. And as we've seen in Cleveland, guys don't get 3-4 years to do it. I think that's the big question. Can you make up that ground in the draft? And then, you know, the third-round quarterback they took, you know, not a lot of people had him as high as apparently Hugh Jackson did. So, you know, does that work out? It's not so high that it has to work out, but I think that was an interesting pick. You know, as far as Coleman, you know, lots of guys look great in camp, you know, especially wide receivers. I've seen it many, many times. I've written about it when I was on the beat. Let's see what happens when the games start. Let's see what happens when the real games start. It is a much tougher position to play in the games than it is at camp.
What do you think about Josh Gordon returning and getting reinstated? I know he still has 4 games to sit out, but it's a guy who led the league in receiving in only 14 games back in 2013. What can reasonably be expected from him?
Well, he's so I think that he produces right away, that he becomes a down-the-field threat. You got to just be really happy for just him as a human, you know, that he can come back and maybe – you know, maybe he can salvage it. He's got such amazing talent. And so, you know, you got your fingers crossed with him, but it's a really great addition to a, you know, receiving core that needs him. It does need him. I know they drafted a bunch of guys, but there's no one who can do maybe, you know, what he can do.
Mike, we appreciate the time. We know you've got to run. Appreciate it. And interested to see how this first year under Hugh Jackson and really all these years, which we all hope for, under Hugh Jackson end up playing out for the Browns.
Just remember. Thank you.
All right. All right. We'll be back with our final thoughts here, wrapping up this show. The rain has stopped, but maybe it's creeping back. It's getting a little dark out there as the Browns have their final practice before heading to Green Bay tomorrow to take on the Packers in the preseason opener Friday night.
You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
That'll do it for our show today. Final segment here is Zagur and Wilhelm. We just talked to Mike Sena, and it's funny. We're here, and we're not that we're drinking the Kool-Aid, but we see the actual change. You've been around NFL organizations. You've been around a Super Bowl winning one, a very successful one in San Diego as well. So you see every day, and we get to talk to the players every day, but it is interesting. The national people, and rightfully so, are skeptical that Hugh Jackson will even get the opportunity to be here long enough to impart any real change.
Yeah, I have no he is here at least 3 years, and I don't know what you would put my word on it, I guess you could say. Browns fans, dog pound. I think Hugh Jackson deserves and will get, based on past history, at least 3 years here. And that's, I guess, doing my best to creep into the head of Jimmy Haslam. And even just going back a couple weeks ago when we heard from Jimmy Haslam, you know, give his State of the Union speech, it's like there's a learning curve associated with everything. There is with being an owner. You're not going to get it right. You're going to learn. You're going to screw things up until you figure out what works. And you get the right process and the right people in place. And I know just spending a very little time with, you know, with Jimmy and just being in the building, that they are extremely happy with everything thus far. Yet very to play happy. A football game, right. But very happy thus far.
Very happy, and I think with good reason. I mean, there is a palpable difference to what's going on. Now we need to see how that translates on the field beginning September the 11th. We'll get our first look at it, even though it is the preseason, this Friday against the Green Bay Packers at 8 p.m. Eastern. Of course, you can watch that game locally on News Channel 5. Matt, when you look at these this preseason game, because it's the first of a new era, do you think you get more from the coach? Do you think you get more from the players? Or should this be treated like another day at the office?
That's a good question. I would say the coaches, to back up everything they've done up to this point all offseason and training camp, are going to bring it. You know, not bring it to the point where we're ready to go beat the Eagles in Philly, but bring it to the point where they don't skip a beat. That it puts, and I guess from a player's perspective, it's when the game comes, because this, they've yet to be with this staff. These players have yet to be with the staff in the pregame locker room to go through that pregame warm-up on the field. And I think these coaches, because they are essentially brought in by Hugh Jackson and the expectation is extremely high on them as it is on the players, because Hugh's going to bring it, like I've continually said, these coaches can't slack off and get comfortable either. Because when they do, things start to slip through the cracks, and you know the players will then, you know, start to relax. This is a Cleveland Browns organization, I think, from Jimmy Haslam on down, that there is a sense of urgency about them, and they have to be delivered about everything they do, because we're not talented enough. We don't have the recent past history that's strong enough to bank on anything going good. So we've got to give maximum effort. We've got to be mentally all there. We've got to, you know, think through every decision we make on every scenario to create the best 53 to go out there and give our best effort. We're not that team that can roll our helmets out and just think we're going to win a football game. We're going to scratch and claw. We're going to bleed. It's going to hurt. It's going to be ugly. And then there's the light at the end of the tunnel that it's going to get good because of all that trial and tribulation.
Do you think we can get a sense as fans, you know, from watching? And I talked to Coach Jackson last night. We had him on the Hugh Jackson show with myself and Mo Pedman's cousin, Ken Carmen. And he said, you know, he wants to see these guys fight for 60 minutes. Do you think as a fan or you as a guy who's been in games like this that you'll be able to tell the buy-in from these players by watching this first preseason game? Because guys at the bottom, though, aren't they always fighting because they just want to stay on the team? And keep, I can never do that again. Because they want to, you know, make this team anyway. Like, is there what do you want to see? What could you see that says, all right, like, these guys are in? I mean, I feel like we see it every day in practice where they're competing. But is there anything you could see in this first game?
I mean, not necessarily. Yes. I want to see, you know, effort. When I watch the defense, I want to see guys, you know, shedding the blocks and not being okay with being blocked. Or not being okay, not being, you know, skidding in on their heels with the on a ball carrier already taken to the ground. I want to see that pursuit. Because pursuit takes no talent. To chase the ball as fast as you can, you don't have to have elite talent. You know, and I've seen it at every level. At my son is a second grader. You know, the high school kids. All you have to do is coach it, and you have to have guys that want to go do it and be around the football. So that's defensively. And then when I watch the wide receivers, and I think it's the stress that a Hugh Jackson offense can put on a defense is force them to defend the entire field.
Yep.
And the only way you can do that is if your wide receivers are running every route like they're getting the football, and the offensive line is blocking as if every run can go for a touchdown, and the running backs are running as if it's the seas are going to part, and they're going to knife through, run through that tackle, and take it 80 yards. And I know every player can't do that every play, but I want to see that more than I've seen it in past years. Because that's the closest picture we can get to winning football without playing a game. Because I see other teams that do win on Sundays. I've been on teams that have done that on Sundays. And the result is something that you want and positive, which is a win.
And how interesting will it be to see these rookies, 14 of them. Normally, if you're drafted, that pretty much affords you, as long as you don't blow it, you know, a good opportunity to make the team. When there are 14 rookies, that's not the case. So seeing how these guys come out and perform, I think, will be very interesting.
It is. I want to see, you know, Emmanuel Ogba's sack dance and Carl Nassib's. It might be scary what it is. Who knows? But, I want to see these guys go out and be pros and yet loose enough to make the plays so they can make those flash plays that I talked about this offseason right after this draft.
Absolutely. All right. I will be on the plane headed to Green Bay tomorrow. You will still be here. Who are you hosting with tomorrow?
I have no idea.
Really?
Nope.
Okay. Well, we'll hopefully find that out for you by tomorrow. I think it might be Reg.
All right.
That's what I'd heard.
That's good.
On the shores of Lake Erie. Here we go. All right, folks. For Matt Fontana and, of course, Matt Wilhelm, I'm Nathan Zagura saying stay tuned for the Golden Boys. And thanks for listening to another edition of Cleveland Browns Daily
on ESPN 850 WKNR.
You've been listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, a production of the Cleveland Browns and ESPN 850 WKNR.